See okay? Kenny, see all right? All right. So we're singing about power in the blood of Jesus Christ. There's power in the blood. A bit of a concept, but think about how is that? Power in Jesus Christ, for sure, but it's in His blood there's power, and what do we do with that? How do we affect that? Where's this power at? We sang about the love. Oh, how He loves you and me. So these are personal things. These are things that are like His heart for us is love. There's power from Him to us in the blood of Christ and in other ways as well. And these things, these spiritual truths, we need to somehow grab a hold of. We need them to somehow have us and affect us, and we need to touch base with them, right? So it's part of our journey with Christ. It's part of our growth process with Christ. It's part of the reality that you and I live and try to explain to other people. Well, how do I get this power? How do I know He loves me? Etc., etc. And I hope that in the next few weeks, to be able to explain some of that, and I'll begin today because we're at the part where Abraham becomes a very prominent figure in our Bibles. In Genesis chapter 15 is where I'll begin today, and I'll be bouncing around. It will really, really help you to have a Bible in your lap or a cell phone or something where you can move from passage to passage. So what I plan on doing this morning is a bit of an overview of Abraham, but I'm going to have to use the New Testament. I'm going to have to share some really important scriptures from the New Testament in getting there. And it'll be an overview, and it'll really be about, the title of the message was A Growing Magnificence of Christ. And so it is about growing, and it's growing into Christ, and it's His magnificence. It's not mine. It's not yours. It is His. He is the one who is magnificent. It is the power of His blood, and it is His love to us. But Abraham is such an effective person. He's called the father of faith, and for good reason. Abraham is just a powerful figure in our Bibles that so much points us to Christ. And so there are some amazing truths. We won't get deep into each one today. We're just going to overview. But this morning, I want to talk about this idea of growing by faith. Growing by faith. And Abraham is a great picture of that. And we will see in these next weeks ahead how Abraham himself grew in the faith. And so that's what we want. That's what each one of us wants. That's the heart. That's the desire. Part of the heart and desire of this church, of any church, is that we grow into the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. That's Ephesians. That's straight out of Scripture. That is primary to what we do as a church. We teach and we love and we share and we care and we grow into the image of Christ, the fullness of the stature of Christ. When we do that, we go out the door and we evangelize. We share this love of God, this kindness of God, this power of God, this sacrifice of God. We walk out the door and we live that, and we evangelize, in technical term there. So this is the essence. This is primary to who we are as a church, at least according to Scripture. So if you would, turn to Genesis chapter 15. I'm going to move. I'm going to bounce around, so be prepared. If you don't have a Bible, grab that pew Bible. I'll wait on you, because this is going to be something for you to chew on. This is going to be something there for you to think about. Won't be something you just grab right now. Let me pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your word. It is rich and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, thoughts and intents of the heart. Your word lives. Your word's true. It's reliable. It's faithful. It is your word, inspired and powerful. So, Lord, I pray for grace for me to explain it, for me to have the heart that you would want me to have, and for our hearts to grab it, to receive it, and to follow it, to let it have us. I pray for your will to be done now. Teach us and help us grow. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me begin this way. Genesis chapter 15. Great core passage. This beginning, this covenant to Abram, not Abraham yet. And in verse 5, he says, well, let's begin at verse 1. Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, there are things that had been happening. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside, and he said, look toward heaven and number the stars. Count them, if you are able to. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Verse 6, this is the verse. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. That verse, that phrase, this moment in Abraham's life is central to the teaching of salvation in the New Testament. Turn in the New Testament to Galatians chapter 4. If there's a central Old Testament figure to New Testament church theology, in particular to salvation, but I would say, and I'm going to make my case also for growth, for Christian growth, if there's a central figure, it's Abraham. Galatians chapter 3 will make my point very clearly. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians. Now that's quite a statement right there. That's quite a thing that the Apostle Paul writes to this church and begins here just saying, you're foolish if you're thinking this. Who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. So you got this information firsthand. You saw it. You heard it. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? That's a salvation question. We receive the Holy Spirit at the point, moment of salvation. And so he is asking him, when you were saved, did you receive the Holy Spirit because of, by your works of the law, or by faith, by believing? by hearing, this is key, you heard the gospel with faith, and you believed, you trusted it. So the question is, did you get saved? Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law because you kept the law of God, because you kept His rules, because you kept His structure, because you kept all that structure and formal religion, and this is how you do it, and this is how you worship, and this is how we sacrifice, and this is how we do it. And when you come to the house of God, the temple, I've got it all laid out for you. And when you go home, these are the rules that you abide by. These are from God. The do's and the don'ts of living and of social life and of religion and of church and whatever you want to call it. They didn't have church then, but a temple. These are the rules. The law of God. You can read it. Leviticus, Deuteronomy. Plenty for you to read. Did you get the Holy Spirit because you were so good at doing that? Or did you get it because you heard the gospel, the love of God in Christ, and you believed? And it's a rhetorical question, obviously. No, you got it because you heard the gospel and you believed. That's how we get saved and get the Holy Spirit. But, like many preachers do, that he said, I only ask you this, and then he asks them more. Verse 3. So rhetorically speaking, if you received the Holy Spirit by hearing with faith, verse 3, again, are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, yes, that's how you began, hearing with faith by the Spirit. Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? And that's growth. That word perfected means matured, completed, brought to completion. Greek word teleos is its core. So you began, you accepted, you believed, you heard, and you believed, and you received the Holy Spirit, and now he says, you're a fool. You're a fool if you think you're going to grow, be complete, matured by the flesh, by the law. By doing this, I did this, I did this, I kept this, I was right, I obeyed this, I did this right. And if you think that's how you're going to grow, you're a fool. That's what he says. That's interesting. Verse 4, did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? I mean, you've been suffering for Christ. It's in vain if you think that's how you grow. Verse 5. Does he who supplies the Spirit to you, that would be God, right? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, miracles, dunamis, powerful things among you, does he who supplies the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? We all want the Lord to work powerfully in our lives. I want the Lord's power, that power in the blood. I want him to save me. I want his power to go with me. I want him to walk with me. I want him to help me, to give me words, to give me heart, to give me change. I want the power of God. Will it come to me by me keeping all the rules of God, the laws of God? If I do it all just right, if I do it all just right, perfectly, if I do this and do this and do this and I don't do that, no, I don't do that. And when I go out there, I do the laws of God, everything right, he'll bless me. with His power, His miracles, His Spirit. Is that right? And Paul says, I'm a fool if I think that. I'm a fool. Does he who supplies the Spirit, I need filled with the Spirit. I need him to supply me. I need to be fully supplied with the Holy Spirit, and I need power, miracles. I want that. Does he give me that by me doing the works of the law or by hearing and believing it? That's what he says. Verse 6, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. There it is, Genesis 15, 6. Now, Abraham believed God. Abraham, the man of faith, and he received power. It was counted to him as righteousness, and he was told, you will have an heir, although you're almost 100 years old, there will be power supplied to you. You will have an offspring, and you will have an heir who will be your very own son. You will receive salvation, counted as righteousness, and the power to conceive by your faith, by hearing what God says and believing it. Verse 7, know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith, and that's who I want to be. But he's not done. Verse 10, for all who rely on works of the law, not only do you not get supplied and power, not only do you not get it, you are cursed. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. We get life and we live by faith. Great, great verse right out of Habakkuk. We, you and I, live, we walk, we grow. Everything of our life is gained and strengthened. We receive the power and the supply of the Spirit by our hearing the Word of God and believing it. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. You and I are sons of Abraham if we approach God by hearing His Word and believing, and believing. Now, so you don't go, well, that's just great. This believing I'm talking about is the James kind of believing. I've heard the Word of God, and I believe it, and so I'm going to do it. Okay, it's faith without works is dead faith. That's nothing. You with me? So the faith, the believing that you and I need is to hear the word of God, believe it, and he knows we believe it when we do it, when we act upon it. Jesus died on the cross for me, and I believe it. And that's where I rely on for my salvation. I rely on him. That's what it says. I'm just quoting scripture to you. All who rely on works of the law are cursed, but if we rely on Jesus, we're saved. We're justified. We're counted as righteous. And if I walk by faith, not by sight, I rely on what I'm hearing and believing. I'm relying on what he's telling me. Like he told Abraham, you're going to have a son. I'm 99. You're going to have a son. Rely on that. Count on that. And you will receive power. And he will supply the Spirit to you. Not because you keep all the laws of God. You can't keep all the laws of God. You can't keep every single rule, do, don't of God. You can't. It wasn't there for that. And you're cursed if you think your good works, duty, religious thing, is you just keep it so well. It's not that you miss the point. You're cursed if you rely on that. And so you and I grow. We grow like our father Abraham, by hearing the word of God, believing it to the extent that I believe it so much, I'm going to do it. And then God causes me and you to grow. He shows up. And no matter how fun it is or how painful it is, he shows up and we go, oh my gosh, God is here. The power of God is here. The Holy Spirit is here, and he is moving and working, and we grow. It's just that simple. It's not me, it's him causing us to grow because we heard it, believed it, it moved us, and he said, growth. I bless you with growth. You'll see me, you'll hear me, you'll watch me grow. Pretty simple. But I wanted you to see this passage of Scripture to see how central Abraham is to our faith day by day by day. Abraham is our father. And his faith is not just saving faith. He believed and it was counted to him as righteousness. It is also growing faith, maturing, completing, perfecting faith. That's exactly what this says. And it says if you don't believe that, you're a fool. If you think now that's good news because you and I mess up sometimes. We don't do everything perfectly. Matter of fact, we can't. We know that. We already know that. But we can still be blessed by God. If we hear, believe, rely on, even if I've sinned, I hear it. I believe what he tells me I need to do now that I've sinned. And I move into that confession and repentance. And he blesses us with growth. He blesses us with the Spirit. He blesses us with power. Even when we sin, he has made accommodation for that. We just need to hear it, believe it here, and do it, and move into it. And so many of us, if you're like me, you have heard and you have learned a lot more of the Word of God than you put into practice. And you say, I really don't believe it, then I'm really not trusting it. And the word is, I'm really not relying on it. I heard the word, but I can't get myself to do that. I can't just can't get myself to take that step. I know I should be doing it, but I just can't. Okay, well, you don't believe it yet. You're working on it. I want you to take heart. Abraham had the same issues. Abraham had the same issues. He grew just like we grow. He knows what it's like for God to say, you're going to have a baby. Yeah. What did he do? When God said, hey, you're going to have a baby. I'm 99. Sarah, she's dead. Well, Sarah, where's Sarah? Oh, she's laughing. She's laughing. This is hilarious. Me, I'm dead. I can't have kids. Oh, Sarah, a year from now when I come back, you'll have a child. What'd they do? Sarah said, hey, I got a handmaid. Why don't you go into her and we'll have that child? I'm going to try it yourself. Well, yeah, we can make that happen. No, that's not the heir. That's not the heir. He just can't quite get over this thing. It's like, really? I'll make it happen. No, you won't. We will not grow until God says grow. Until we believe and God says grow. Really, until we trust Him, right? Until we rely on Him. That's what it says. We rely on. You trust in. You believe in. And God counts it as righteousness. And He blesses us with the Spirit and power and growth. It's His kindness. You're still trying to figure out the sign out front. It's His kindness that leads us to repentance. It's kindness. If you will hear my word and believe and just go with what I'm telling you, you will receive the kindness. You will see and understand the kindness of God that will even cause you and I to repent of our sins. It's His kindness that does that. It was His kindness that He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. It was His love and mercy. I didn't earn it. I didn't keep the rules. Good religious person. I didn't do that. It was God's kindness. And He is so kind, yet today, if I hear His word, and I trust it. I rely on it, and it moves me. His kindness is all over my life. We grow. We receive repentance. That's faith to repent even of our sins. Faith to receive the Holy Spirit and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's just that simple and just that hard. Because we all have these. So we start to read them and they make us feel, ooh, I don't know if I can do that. Ooh, that makes me feel kind of icky inside. And if we hear it and rely on it, trust it, let it move us, go with what it tells us, God saves us and makes us grow. We see God. Just like Abraham. So you and I are going to need to have faith in a living God with a living Holy Spirit, a living Son of God who defeated death. We are going to need faith to trust this, his word, to do it when most of culture and society is telling us it's false, it's wrong, it's old, it doesn't work, don't do it. It's so easy. You pick up this book and you read what it says and you just pursue God with it. This is what you want, God? This is what I will give you. I'll do my best. And even when I fall, you've provided, and I'm going to go that way too. I'm going to confess my sin, and your kindness leads me to repentance, and you are the one that causes me to grow. It's just that simple, and it's just that hard. Romans chapter 4, please turn there. What about Abraham? Romans chapter 4, verse 1. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, according to how good of a religious person he was? For if Abraham was justified by works, by his good religious life, he has something to boast about, but not before God. Well, what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. There it is again. Genesis 15, 6. This is core, central to our belief. Now, to the one who works, the one who keeps his religious duties. You notice he's not saying the law right here. He's just saying the works, your good religious works. You're a good person. You are relying on your good works. To the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift. This is not a grace thing, but as his due. God owes it to you. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him, trusts in him, relies on him, who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. There it is again. For the one, for me and you. Verse 9. Is this blessing then only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? Jew, non-Jew. We say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but it was before he was circumcised. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of his righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them as well, and to make him the father of the circumcised who are not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. Abraham believed and it was counted to him as righteousness before there was a law, before the covenant of circumcision. There wasn't anything going. And he believed God, and all he was standing somewhere in a field, and God said, look up at the stars and believe, and he believed. And he counted it as righteousness. No law. Circumcision was coming, and that was a seal of the transaction. You and I, did you know you and I are sealed with a circumcision made without hands by the circumcision of Christ? Colossians chapter 2, the Holy Spirit as a seal of the transaction of our faith? The Holy Spirit. Same thing for us. It's a great, great passage of Scripture. Chapter 4, verse 20. Here's the growth part. When he was told that Sarah was going to have a child, in verse 20 it says, "No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced God was able to do what he promised, and that's why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words 'it was counted to him' were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him, who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification." And Abraham, like us, we grow strong in our faith from belief to belief to belief. Beginning with faith and ending with faith is what Romans chapter 1 says. The gospel is the power of God to all who believe. From faith to faith to faith, we grow strong by hearing the word of God, taking it in, believing it, relying on it, and moving into it. And God makes us grow. And that's why we're all growing in such different ways, in such different directions. Well, none of us are at the same place. It is totally cursed. It is totally anti-God to think we would all grow as little soldiers doing all the right religious things. That's never what the law was for. So we are cursed. Here we are, every one of us in a different place in life, every one of us growing differently, every one of us with different challenges, coming in with different needs. It's only God that could make us grow. I don't know what your needs and hurts are, but come on in, and we will put the word of God out before you and let you hear it so you can understand it a little deeper, rely on it, and God will affect you with growth, with the Spirit. He'll supply the Spirit. He'll forgive our sins, cause us to repent. He does it all. So Abraham, let's think now about Abraham. This overview I've been talking to you about. Genesis chapter 15. If you have a Bible or a cell phone that you're really good with, this will help you. We know that Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, he believed and it was counted to him as righteousness. We know that. And so what I would say then, according to the New Testament, is Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, is really the time Abraham was saved. That's his point of salvation. It was counted to him as righteousness. But what about chapter 12 and 13 and 14? Because there's a lot that happened. Abraham was living clear up somewhere around Iraq or Iran, and God called him and said, "Hey," or let's put it this way, some God called him and said, "Hey, get your family and get up out of here and go to somewhere I'm going to show you." And he believed. He had faith. Whatever this God is, whoever this is, okay, I'm going to do it. And he began to go. He went as far as Haran and he stopped. And he stayed there. And Haran, his brother, had died, and his dad, Terah, died there at Haran, and then he left. and went down to Canaan because Ham's son Canaan would serve Shem's son Abraham someday. And so he went down to Canaan. And that's where so much of this happened. So he began with a bit of faith to leave and to go. But it says, and it wasn't until chapter 15, verse 6, that his faith was counted as righteousness. And that's what it says in the New Testament. So I'm not saying anything, but what the New Testament says, this is salvation. When God counts our faith as righteousness. So Abraham was on a journey prior to that. He was called, and listen, listen to me really clearly. If you and I aren't called by God, we don't have hope. I'm dead in my trespasses and sins. I have no hope unless this God appears out of nowhere and says, hey, you, make your way over to that church or somewhere or to someone. You and I have no hope until God comes and calls you. Abraham was not looking for a vacation rental in Canaan. He was not. He was living his life there where he lived. And I don't know whether it was a vision or a voice or how it was, but there is a big God telling me to go, and I'm believing it. And Abraham was called. He was called. And you and I are the same way. Unless he comes and breathes life and whispers in your ear and speaks to you, you and I don't have a hope because we're dead in our trespasses and sins. My salvation is all about God from start to finish. So he was called in chapter 12. Go from your country and your kindred. He's 75 years old. He goes down and he builds an altar. There's a good religious man for you. He goes down and he builds an altar. And then he moves down a little farther and he builds an altar. And I'm still in chapter 12. And a famine comes in verse 10 and he goes to Egypt. And what's he do in Egypt? Tell Pharaoh that you're my sister or he'll kill me. And Pharaoh takes Sarah into his household. Because he wants that good-looking woman. And trouble brews in Pharaoh's household, and so he comes out in this Gentile Egyptian Pharaoh has to correct Abraham and say, what are you doing? Verse 18, Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this you have done to me? Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she's my sister so that I took her for my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go. What are you doing? How many times do they out there have to look at us and go, what are you doing? Abraham wasn't a perfect man, and he would repeat this. Fearful sin. He was afraid and he did it, and he'll do it again later in a few chapters to Abimelech. He does the same thing again. He's a fearful man. He's not perfect. Chapter 13, him and nephew Lot separate. Lot goes east, which is never a good idea. Abraham stays west, stays there in Canaan. God blesses him. Lot goes to Sodom and Gomorrah. They're attacked. They're invaded. Lot's taken captive. Abraham rescues him. Abram's coming back. Is blessed by Melchizedek. Melchizedek comes out and blesses him. Blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. That's chapter 14, verse 19. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. By the way, Abram, you didn't win this battle, God did. And Abram gave him a tenth of everything. The king of Sodom wanted to give him stuff, but Abram said, nope. I believe this God. I believe this God. I'm not sure yet who he is, but I believe this God. This God keeps following me around, and I believe what Melchizedek said. Chapter 15, he believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And I say God was on a journey with Abraham, calling Abraham, pulling him in. And Abraham finally gets to a point in chapter 15. He says, who are you that keeps following me around? Chapter 15, verse 7. And he said to him, that's God. God said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. Yeah, I'm the guy that called you up there. I'm the one that keeps showing up in your life. It's me. I called you from your homeland. I brought you down here to Canaan. Brought you back up. I just won this battle for you. Got your nephew back. It's me. And Abraham believed, and it was counted as righteousness. And there are people in and out of this church and many others who have been on this journey, and God has been following them and speaking into their life, into their mistakes, and into their good points, the good things they've done. And God is there, and he keeps winning battles and directing them. And they're still, they know he's there, but they haven't yet asked, who are you? What are you doing? What's going on? And he can say, I'm the one. I'm calling you. I'm calling you. And when we believe, when we rely, when we trust him, we hear the gospel like Abraham, and we rely, we believe he counts that faith as righteousness. That is salvation. And you know the hard part? I don't know who's on the journey pre-chapter 15 or who's after chapter 15. Because we all kind of move together. And we're always so overjoyed when someone says, well, I thought I was saved, but I wasn't. And so now I hear it and I believe it and I'm here. And we just bawl like babies, and we're just thrilled. It's happened to pastors and deacons and elders and authors and janitors. God does it. God gets all the credit. Maybe you and you alone with God know, are you before chapter 15 or are you after chapter 15? We're all growing. I hope that's the case. And so now we have Abram became Abraham. And that's a growth story. From Abram to Abraham is a growth story by faith. It's a faith story. And his faith will begin to grow. There's a vision and a covenant right here, isn't there? In chapter 15, he believes in verse 6. He counts it as righteousness. He tells him who he is. I'm the God who brought you out from Ur of Chaldeans to give you this land. Oh, it's me again. And he said, how will I know that I can possess it? And we have this great, it's called the Red Heifer Covenant. God did this. This is all God. Bring me a heifer, 3 years old, a female goat. This is all God. This is a covenant. God made a deep sleep to fall on him, and he saw this happening. This is all God. Abraham is sleeping. Verse 16, Abraham tries to go it alone. Sarah, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, and she said, "Hey, here's my servant Hagar. Go into her, and we will have this child." The covenant of circumcision, verse 17, sealed like you and I. Isaac's birth is promised. God does that. Think with me. Think of all that God is doing here. God calls him. God tells him, "You're going to have this land." That's God. This is all God. This is just Abraham herding his sheep, doing what he's doing. And God says, "Leave." God says, "This land will be yours." God says, "You're going to have a son." This is all God. This is all God. First thing Abraham does, sleeps with Hagar to try and make this happen. God does things, and then Abraham does things. Even rescuing Lot, that was God. Melchizedek had to tell him that. You didn't win this battle. God moves. Abraham tries it his own way. God moves. But I love chapter 18. Can't wait to get there. You know this story. The angels show up. We're going down to Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you love the language of what he says here? Look at Genesis 18, verse 16. "Then the men set out from there, and they looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to set them on their way. The Lord said, 'Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do?'" I'm going down to wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm going to level with fire. Should we tell him? Lot's down there, his nephew. Should we tell him what I'm about to do? "Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I have chosen him," yes, you did, "that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him. Then the Lord said, 'Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether they have what they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come, and if not, I will know.'" And do you know what Abraham did? He interceded for these gravely sinful Sodom and Gomorrah. He didn't say, "Well, that's too bad. I got a nation in my future. I've got that in my future." No. He interceded. He said, "God, will you spare them? Will you spare them if there's just a hand? Will you spare them for just this?" Abraham's pleading for Sodom and Gomorrah. That's the most beautiful thing I've read so far Abraham done. Pleading for the souls of these grave sinners. God said, "Sure." But there wasn't any. He brought Lot out, and even his wife turned back and turned to a pillar of salt. But Abraham was learning, and he was growing. He would soon repeat his sin with his wife to Abimelech, tell him, "You're my sister." And then God would tell him to offer his son. "Go take your son up on Mount Moriah and offer him as a sacrifice." And God's going to teach him the deep, deep sacrificial love, the pain of what it will cost to save the souls of men. And he'll put his son up on that altar and raise that knife. And he had to be in deep pain at that point. God had to teach him the cost, the hurt of salvation for him and for us, what it cost for us to be saved, the sacrifice, the hurt, God himself to save his people. And that's the overview. I'm looking forward to getting into these chapters because there's rich lessons for you and I. Rich, rich lessons of the kindness and the mercy, the compassion and the love of God. Of a Christ that endured such hostility against himself to save us. And he'll teach us that lesson. He will teach us that lesson as he did Abraham. But I hope we grow by hearing and believing until it moves us. And then God will make us grow. It'll never be because we do all these things. We're cursed if we think that. But we will hear and believe and move. And he will bless us with power, with his spirit, with repentance, and with compassion, like Abraham, to intercede for the most grave of sinners. We know the pain and the hurt through Christ for us. That's a beautiful story. That's the gospel in just living color. Just can't wait. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for our father Abraham. Lord, as I think about this room right now and just know that there may well be people in chapter 12 or 13 and there's people in chapter 17. Lord, we're just everywhere on this map, and yet you're here with us and you're causing us to grow. You're feeding us your word. You're calling us because you love us. You don't want any man to perish. And you're willing to do it all. So Lord, I pray, have your way now with our heart and our soul. Cause hearts to take that next step toward you. May we grow together. In Jesus' name, amen.